This is The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
What is the purpose of me receiving an education if, for one, it's not of quality, and two, I can't even focus on learning because I now have to focus on whether or not I'm in an environment that is healthy? Are you kidding me? This type of behavior, it comes from lack of love, lack of discipline, not necessarily in that order, because when you don't have an environment of love and you're told that you can't do this and you ain't this and you ain't that, and then you don't have anyone that provides you structure or accountability, this is what happens.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studio at The Avenue, here's Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
Good evening and welcome. You're listening to Hour 2 of Truth Unfiltered. Now, y'all heard how she hollered at me in the last hour, and I'm feeling very, what's the word I'm looking for? When you got to come up with how your feelings feel, because, you know, you're like, okay. It astounds me when I hear people and they say, y'all don't like each other. And I go, well, first of all, well, I don't know how she feel about me, but I love her, right? She's like a sister, right? You'd only need one of us if both of us agreed on everything. The whole point of it,
let them think that we don't like each other.
Oh, so really, you're telling me to shut up? Telling me to shut up?
No, I'm just saying, like, well, you were going to, I apologize. Go ahead, because you were actually about to make that point on why it's good for people to think that we don't like each other.
Well, because people listen to hear what we say.
Thank you.
And so you push buttons to have me go, what? And I push buttons to people go, what? Because usually, and really I don't think people understand, when you're in a place where words aren't going to be taken personally, or you don't have the afterthought of that fool.
Are you ready for this?
What's that?
Let's take it a step further.
Okay.
It's called maturity. So
why are you always bringing up my age? Why are you always bringing up my age? See, that's what I don't like. You keep bringing up the fact that I'm mature. I don't like that.
No one is talking about yo.
But I'm scientific.
Age.
Okay, now I'm trying to.
Okay, what I was going to say
yes, ma'am.
Is that, and I actually brought this up yesterday when I was at the gym and I was having a conversation with another gym mate, I guess, for lack of better words. We were talking about when you're in a relationship with someone that you admire, trust, respect, like,
like
there's going to be times in the relationship where you might have like an emotional argument or an emotional disagreement, whatever the case is. But the fundamental reason why you can, okay, I got a better example. Do you remember the movie Lean on Me with Morgan Freeman?
Yes.
Okay, he played Joe Clark.
Right.
The principal.
Right.
There's a scene where he and Ben Vereen, and I can't remember, not Ben Vereen. That's so disrespectful. What's the brother that played Benson? He has a French name.
Robert Guillaume.
Thank you.
I
mean, they are going in it. I mean, if you're watching the scene or you're watching the movie, you're thinking, oh, these brothers are not going to be friends after this.
Right.
Literally, as Morgan Freeman is screaming and, you know, Robert Guillaume is screaming, he says, let's go get a bite to eat. After the argument. And that's the reason why that scene is relative to this conversation, because I wish we could get back to a point where
you could
people can argue, but because of the fundamental core components of their relationship. So, for example, you and I, here's my rules. Unless you cause physical harm to me or mine, unless you steal from me, unless you lie on my character, like defamation of character type stuff.
Let me tell y'all what Denise did.
Then there's nothing that you could do to me that's going to make me say, I don't like you. Now, there are people.
I don't like Denise. She hurt my feelings.
Who I don't fool with. but we don't have a relationship to begin with.
Is that like African American vernacular? I don't fool with.
Yeah, I don't fool with.
That's a lot in those three words. You know that, right?
Then there are some where, you know, just based on where we are currently in life, we're no longer compatible. Yep. It's not that person is bad and I'm good or I'm bad and they're good. We're just not compatible.
Yep.
Our relationship, which has transpired now over, I was just talking about this, I think, with Sherwin. You and I have been working together, I want to say, since 2019, maybe 2018. I know it was before COVID.
Oh,
when
yeah.
We first started co-hosting on Sundays. So it's important that people understand, you will know, I can't speak for Dr. Ken, you will know if I don't like you. You will know. And I hope that if somebody has to deal with me and they don't like me, please tell me. But I love Dr. Ken.
Because she's a handful.
We are going to argue. We're going to fight on the air, number one, selfishly.
Ooh, that's the whole point of
doing
the
ratings. Nobody's going to tune in to no boring. Where we're like, yes, you're the greatest, Dr.
We
Ken.
Agree.
No,
isn't
Denise,
that wonderful?
You're the greatest.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Isn't it good? No. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, that don't make no sense at all, except I say it. That don't make no sense. What do you mean, saying it?
And not to compare our show to reality shows.
At least she tried to. As long as she don't try.
But look at the reality show industry. Multi-billion-dollar industry. Why? Right. Because people like what?
Yep.
Watching drama. They like watching other people argue. They like watching dysfunction. That is what draws ratings.
Yeah, but I think when we do it, we present two sides, and people get to look at both sides. And it's not about, I agree with Denise or I agree with Dr. Ken. It's about, now I've got two sides, and I've doubled the information I have. I've doubled the amount of knowledge I have, and now I can make an informed decision. That's all. That's all it's for. But for some reason, boy, y'all was arguing. And y'all, I was like.
You should say,
I can't stand Denise. I'm not going to say that.
Because that would make the ratings go up. You'd be like, yes, that helpful. I can't stand her.
Yeah, but then I got to hear on the radio, Dr. Ken, I heard you don't like me. I'm like, okay.
Who? I won't say that.
Somebody else will. Talking text line said, same thing they do about me and Sherwin. Love that brother. We hang out, we talk, but I'm telling you, when I get on the air, you know, I got to sound like I'm, you know, Mumbles. I always call him Mumbles, and, you know, he mocks me. And this is
so there you have it, Truth Nation. You just got the insight. You got Dr. Ken's strategy on keeping y'all tuned in. Speaking of which.
Yes, ma'am.
I know before break, we were talking about the tariffs. Now, it's obviously been the main headline for the past month, maybe even beyond a month. And for Black folks, this is not just an economic issue. This is like a kitchen table issue. That's what I said before we broke. Tariffs are taxes. Okay? That's what they ultimately are. And when prices rise, although they rise for everybody, it hits Black Americans different. Because we often, in these types of situations where the economy is shifting and we're in the depths of inflation, borderline now recession, it hits Black Americans the hardest, the first, and the longest. So here's some facts here. And I don't know, because, you know, President Trump's been changing back and forth every day. So Trump has proposed a 10% universal tariff that would raise prices on everyday goods, whether it's clothes, electronics, groceries. Now, Black Americans in this country, that's kind of redundant. So Black Americans are already, in general, experiencing a disproportionate income. So basically, doing the same job, we make, I think, Black men make it's like maybe 67 cents on every dollar.
Yep, 68%.
And Black women, it's like 58 cents.
Now, when you say disproportionate, it's not disproportionate to white people. It's disproportionate to America.
Yes.
Like everybody.
Yes.
Okay.
But what's crazy is that despite Black Americans having a disproportionate income, lower income,
right,
we spend a greater amount of our income on consumer goods. Why are you saying it? Why are you doing that?
Just like we.
What? I'm unfiltering the truth.
But you know, black people are like $1.6 trillion. Like we're like the eighth or ninth largest country in the world. The money that we spend.
Yeah.
Our discretionary income. Okay.
Black folks.
And they got.
I'm gonna ruffle some feathers.
No.
We know how we do. A lot of us, we will make sure we looking good before we make sure the lights are going to stay on.
Whew, I can't say it. Ugh, I'm going to have to tell you.
Okay,
this.
If I said it, how come you can't say it?
Because it got to do with a sponsor. I can't. We got to talk offline.
Okay.
Woo, Lord.
Now, this is what we call. So again, if black folks are going to be impacted the most by these tariffs, but yet we spend the most money. And by the way, don't even get me started on where our money is going. It's not staying in our community. This is what we call an inflation bomb. Now, on top of that, Dr. Ken, black-owned businesses in this country, and you and I both are entrepreneurs.
Yep.
I am like 98% of my income comes from my business. My black-owned business. And I am already facing barriers to capital and to scaling my business. And so now when you add this tariff, which is disrupting so many aspects of being a consumer. Now, my company is primarily a service provider.
Right.
So supply chain doesn't necessarily hit as hard. However, because people are making decisions about these tariffs, it impacts. And so it's now even more hard for me to compete in an already dominant, white male dominant industry. And so we as black folks, we have to ask ourselves, what is our plan to protect black consumers, black businesses, black small businesses from being basically squeezed out, disintegrated, whatever adjective you want to use, because this is a huge slap to black Americans who, again, spend way more money than any other consumer packaged good demographic in, would you say? We spend one point, which is almost like the third largest country in the world.
Black that people's amount? Income is basically like $1.2, $1.6 trillion. Like we're, by ourselves, we're a small country. Like we could be like the eighth or tenth largest country in a, it just makes no sense that the money that we have, being only 13% of a population, the power that we have, but we don't exercise it.
You know, Dr. Ken, what makes me mad is when I hear these, you know, micro, macro economic advisors on like CNN and Fox News, and this is so. I'm gonna go old school, and people, when I say this, that are my age. Don't believe the hype. I'm going straight Flavor Flav, Public Enemy. Let me tell you why I get frustrated, because these straight white men who they deem as economic advisors are looking from a lens that has nothing to do with us. And they say, oh, calm down. Don't get mad. Don't get nervous. This policy, these tariffs, they're really about long-term strategy. And they're saying, just it's going to be okay. Now, as a woman of faith, I do believe that it's going to be okay. But when I put on my data,
financial lens,
financial literacy hat on, this is real for us.
It's like, wait, what?
Yeah. Because we already have to leave our neighborhoods to have access to certain things. You feel me, Dr. King? Like we already
like,
have
only like food and clothes and shelter and
education,
jobs, education,
healthcare.
But it's not a lot. It's not a lot.
You got to laugh to keep from crying.
Yep.
So when you hear these straight white men on these news networks telling you this is a long term strategy, know that we are already feeling the impact. Because the momentum of buying black that's starting to come as a result of, you know, large corporations eliminating D&I and we're now, you know, looking to buy black-owned brands, that's going to come to a halt with these tariffs because we are not going to have the accessibility that we had. Higher import costs mean higher prices on products that are often made or sold by black-owned brands. And we've already had the cards dealt to be against us to begin with. So all of this, it's going to make buying black, it's going to make black-owned businesses, all of that obsolete. And it's a reality, Dr. Ken, that we need to talk about.
When we come back, I don't know if I'll go that far, obsolete. I don't know. I'm kind of in agreement, but then I'm kind of not. So when we come back, we're gonna chop that up and really talk about the depth to which these black tariffs are going to impact. Because I think you said that earlier when it came to politics, you know, how it's going to impact black America. Can we change? Can we fix it? I got a question for Denise when we come back. You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered, 101.7 The Truth, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to The Truth Unfiltered on 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered. Welcome back. I wish y'all could have heard when I mentioned folks'
why name. Do you think that I had something with Eric Trump? Do this all the time.
I never said his name. You just outed
yourself. You literally said his name before break. Before we went back.
You just outed yourself, but that's okay. And that's only because
I did my job
man.
During the Republican National Convention.
Yes,
I interviewed Eric Trump.
With a smile. You said yes. With a smile on
what
your face.
What am I supposed
face.
To do?
Eric!
He's a guest.
Hi, Eric. Yeah, you were singing in.
I didn't do all that.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, he's a guest on the show.
Right.
Look,
I ain't never
I'm not
seen
NABJ.
You.
Look, the panelists that
he must
that,
have given you some energy. Out. He must have been giving you some energy because you sure gave him some energy. But anyway.
I was DT. I gave him the same energy that I give everybody. I love everybody.
I bet.
You can't be, if you invite somebody, this is why I totally, like when the NABJ had their, because I talked about this in the morning show.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, if you invite somebody to be
That's
a guest.
Crazy. And then you drag them.
And then you like, come on, what are we doing?
And then I don't understand why they won't come back. What? Wait, what?
It's called professionalism.
They won't give us an interview. We got put to the back of the room because he can control that. And I think it's, I know people freak out. I think it's great that citizen journalists can now go to the White House, request a day pass, and go sit in for the president's briefing.
Mm.
So that I can go back to my community, you know, newspaper, podcast, whatever, and talk about what we talked about.
It's just like when people say, well, that's not my president. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. That's something $1 trillion a budget he got. That's your tax.
That's your president. Okay. You live in a country where the people have voted. Now, it may not be the president that you voted for.
Okay.
Because I do believe that when President Barack Obama was president and somebody called him Barack Obama, you better put some respect on his name.
Right.
That's President Barack Obama.
Right.
That ain't my. And then now it's that ain't my. Yes. President Trump.
Yep.
If you are an American citizen. That is your president.
And if you show disrespect to the office, you can go to jail. As dude can that you? Was leaning, that was laying on the thing with the looking through the down in Florida. Remember the second one when Trump was playing golf? Remember him? And then they called him. Somebody saw him. They just indicted dude. Federal charges. Whew. So
I mean, here's the thing. You don't. It's like.
It's
we as adults, we have to understand the protocol, like because President Barack Obama will always be President Barack Obama,
right?
President Richard Nixon, even though he, you know, resigned after being impeached, he will always. So it's like, what are we doing? That ain't my president. Yes, it is.
Well,
because guess what? If you're in a foreign country and something happens, you have to go to the U.S. Embassy.
Who are you going to call?
Man? I triple dog dare you to say, that ain't my president. They'll be like, oh. Look at Dr. Ken.
Well,
got to do better.
Well, we're going to revoke your visa as a U.S. citizen. We're not letting you back in. See ya.
Because sometimes we as a people, we say things over and over and over and over again. It's like, okay, but I get it. Like, in your house, He could be DT, Donald Trump, whatever you want to call him. But when seriously, when you are out in public and you make statements like, that ain't my president.
President Trump or Mr. Trump?
Be careful.
Yep. But that's because we don't teach civics in schools anymore. We don't teach people. Now, some of the nonsense about Washington and the cherry tree and chopping down the tree, I cannot tell a lie crap, which teaches children not to tell lies, all that. That was understandable. Then you get older. But we don't teach, like, this is how the government works. I was so happy to see when they shipped that dude down to Central America and the U.S. Supreme Court. Well, we're going to take this to the Supreme Court because we're going to fight bringing him back. And the Supreme Court, 9-0, 9-0, 6 conservatives, 3 liberals said, nah, player, you got to go get in a plane and bring dude back. I tell people that is your hope, that when you think all gonna go crazy, Supreme Court gonna be like, no, we don't do that.
And the name Supreme is for a reason. It is the highest court in our judicial branch of government.
Watch this. That's why they call it the Court of Last Resort. When
the
they say no,
Supreme Court.
It's no.
They probably got like what 2 trillion cases on wait. I mean, they literally. So have you been to the Supreme Court? I'm sure you have. You've been to the Supreme Court?
Yeah.
Should I say this or not? I think I'm going ahead and say it.
Is it classified?
So I went to the Supreme Court and I sat in.
Having people come dragging you off.
No. I mean, it's a fact.
The men in black suits.
Supreme Court Justice, not Chief Justice, because, you know, you got to also say that too.
Right.
But Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas.
Right.
Like, he was gone, knocked out.
Right. You know why?
And, you know, back then, when I went, it was like 97, so there were no, like, smartphones, no, you know, like, phone cameras.
Right.
I was like, look at this brother. He was gone, knocked out. It was a light day.
I've seen Ruth Bader do that, too. I've seen.
Yeah, but it's more entertaining when I call Clarence Thomas out.
But you're talking people in their 80s. Like, first of all,
he wasn't 80 when he would. This was 97.
So he was.
He had just. He may have been in there for like 6 years, so he was still a rookie.
He wasn't no spring chicken when he went in, but anyway. So why are we letting people on the Supreme Court and they freaking like?
But he was knocked out, y'all. He was.
No, make no sense.
And I mean, like they had, you know, nobody could tap him,
right?
Well, you know, you can't do that. I mean, it's very, you know, and
it's probably against the law to touch a justice or something crazy like that.
I don't even know if the layout is still the same, but they had these big, tall, red velvet chairs with like,
It's the wrong chair to sit in to have to listen to somebody talk.
There's this big bench. And you walk in and it's just very quiet and they put us in the back. But it was, you know, at least I can say that I sat in on the Supreme Court, you know, daily hearings. But they have so many cases.
Oh yeah. But
like they were like, okay, so and so against so and so. I mean, it was like this was 97. They were like, so in 1986, that's how far it goes back. Is there a statute of limitations with the Supreme Court, Dr. Ken? Do we know that?
Not really. I think they're able to decide whether or not they're going to hear it. And so that's what people see, right? They take all that time leading up to it to figure out what they're going to hear and all the other stuff they kick back. So if it's not a case specifically has never been heard and affects constitutional rights, they're not going to hear it. They're going to kick it back to the lower court, like automatic. So they spend a lot of time going, no.
Maybe that's when he was asleep, when they were saying.
So you're going, no.
Regardless, I don't know if you can still, because so much has changed since 1997, but if it is still open to the public, because they have certain cases where you can actually sit in, or hearings, I should say.
Right.
If you can, make sure you go and make sure you take one of our future leaders, one of our young students to the Supreme Court.
Because
it
is
actually interesting.
And don't get arrested acting a fool in the Supreme Court.
You know what, Dr. Ken? You don't have to say that. That goes without saying.
It's the cop
in me. We're professionals.
Sorry, it's the cop in me. Sorry.
We're civil.
Hey, don't be too civil. That was my job for 30 years.
There's more good than not in this world.
Absolutely. And when you're not.
But tariffs. Going back to
wait a minute. I thought you said
tariffs.
It was good in this world, and then you mentioned tariffs.
Going from one good thing to the next.
Okay. Good.
Now, do you think, based on everything that you've seen, read, heard, Dr. Ken, regarding President Trump's tariffs, do you think this is a strategy for smart business? Because many people voted for President Trump based on his business acumen.
Right.
Based on him being a long-term successful businessman. So do you think that President Trump's tariffs is a strategy for smart business, or is a reckless economic plot wrapped in patriotism? Like, make America great again. This is going to bring jobs back. Mm-hmm. Or is this bad?
How I understand it in my education of, you know, risk management and finance and all that. People don't want to hear it because everybody's just anti-Trump. And if I say something about tariffs, they assume, oh, you're pro-Trump. No, that doesn't mean. First of all, tariffs have been around for 50, 60, 70, 100 years. Like, we've been giving people tariffs for years. The tariffs have been out of whack for decades. Every president says they're going to come in and fix the tariffs, and then they don't. We give people favored state nation status. We give people all these things so that we can buy and sell, and we always end up paying more because we have more money. Do we have more money? Sure. That doesn't mean that we should be paying it to you and building up your country with our money. We need to control that. For example, and I gave this example on my show last week, Japan. How much can we sell? How many cars you think we sell in Japan? Just off the top of your head.
Oh, a lot.
We sell zero.
Oh, wait a minute. How many American cars
do we sell in Japan?
Very little. Very little.
No. Zero.
Yeah.
Zero.
Oh, it's zero.
Yeah. There's like a
eight, so there's no Fords.
There's like a
or GMs
800% tariff on a car going to Japan.
Oh,
so nobody buys cars. They force so that we'll give you a tariff. We'll give you a tariff. Yeah, but they ship Hondas and Mitsubishis and all that Toyota over here. We buy them in droves because the tariff is so low.
And let me just further unfilter the truth. The Japanese business model, along with their manufacturing or production system, is way more sophisticated. And for those that do not know, when the Japanese auto manufacturing brands like Toyota and Honda started just taking over, it was the big three, GM, Ford, and what was it? What's the other one?
Chrysler.
Ford, GM, and Chrysler. They were all taking flights to Japan to study and learn what was the secret. So that's another reason why it ain't just the tariffs. It's also, we make cars better than you. And they do.
And I'll even say something that'll sound racist, but it's not. How many Asian people have you seen driving a non-foreign Japanese car or Korean car?
That's not racist.
It's facts.
It's facts. And it's just like asking, how many Jewish people do you see driving Mercedes?
Right.
And you know what? Here's the crazy part. See, they get it.
Right.
They're like, we don't patronize German for obvious reasons.
Right.
But black folks?
Yeah. Everything and everybody. And so when we talk about tariffs have always been there. You lower it. Now, I think part of his strategy was to create a tariff to get at China, really. Because he came back on the, we'll just lower it for all the other countries. Then all the other countries came to the table. We got lower tariffs, and that was that. I think that was part of the plan. I don't think he expected the market to crash the way that it did. And that's why he put the 90-day hold on everybody else. But now everybody's coming to the table and negotiating. I think we'll be fine. We may just have to reacquire those things we got in China and other places. But much of that will come here. Now, in the short term, it's going to cause a bit of inflation because now I have to retool to bring all my manufacturing back over here. And now the Rust Belt is littered with open factories that are there that can be retooled probably in about 6 months or so. But in that time, it's going to get a little hurtful.
Well, quick history lesson. And it's been going viral. So you remember the movie, The Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene in the movie that is now going viral. And if we have time, we're going to play the clip. But during this scene, one of the high school teachers, you remember the scene? Anyone? The teacher? Anyone?
Right.
Bueller? Okay. During one of the scenes, same teacher, he talks about the in 1930, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, in an effort to alleviate the effects of the Great Depression, passed the tariff bill, which was known as the Hawley-Smoot Tariff Act.
Right.
It raised tariffs in an effort to collect more revenue for the federal government. It did not work, and the United States sank deeper into the Great Depression. And this took place on June 13, 1930. The Senate passed the Smoot-Hawley Tariff, which resulted in one of the most catastrophic acts in congressional hearing. And this was during Herbert Hoover's presidency. In 1929, President Hoover called Congress into a special session to deal with a troubled farm economy that had fallen into depression during the otherwise prosperous 1920s. And that's where this proposed revision tariff came into play, which then resulted in devastation, further devastation, i.e. the Great Depression.
And you know,
it's going viral because this is, here we are again. History always repeats itself.
Oh yeah. Especially
if you find it,
history.
We got to play this. Yeah, we got to play this because it's literally going viral. Because some of these movies that took place like 30, 40, 50 years ago, it's just interesting. History always repeats itself. You got the clip, Dr. Ken?
In 1930, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, in an effort to alleviate the effects of the, anyone? The Great Depression, passed the, anyone? A tariff bill, the Hawley-Smoot Tariff Act, which anyone raised tariffs in an effort to collect more revenue for the federal government. Did it work? Anyone know the effects? It did not work, and the United States sank deeper into the Great Depression. Today, we have a similar debate over this. Anyone know what this is, class? Anyone? Anyone seen this before? The Laffer Curve. Anyone know what this says? It says that at this point on the revenue curve, you will get exactly the same amount of revenue as at this point. This is very controversial. Does anyone know what Vice President Bush called this in 1980? Anyone? Something D-O-O economics. Voodoo economics.
Now see, Dr. Kidd, thank you for giving that soundbite. But do you see, like, the scene...
Right.
Was intended to be humorous about something that the students obviously did not care about.
Right.
But it's going viral in 2025. This movie came out, I believe, in 1980.
I have no idea.
85, 86? See, and here we are now, 40 years later. 40 years later, and everything that he is talking about in that humorous scene is exactly what we're facing in the country today.
But it's something
literally
that
Republican
all the time, every
yeah.
few. Yeah, it's just...
Isn't that crazy, though? Anyone?
Actually, no, because that's what happens in an economy. And people, it was 1986. People just don't. You were like 2 years old back then, right? It's
like 2 years. Bless you. Okay. I love you. I wasn't born. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I was 10.
Yeah. When we come back, we're gonna stay on these tariffs because I think it's important that people actually understand what is really happening and how it's really going to... Well, let me do this. How are we going to respond as a black community? And I don't mean screaming and hollering about Donald Trump. How are we going to weather the storm about tariffs? You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered. Denise Thomas, I'm Dr. Ken Harris. I'm sorry. You're listening to Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris. I got to get it right. I want to get that way.
Get it right.
All right. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered with Denise Thomas and Dr. Ken Harris.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Ken Harris. Denise Thomas is here with Truth Unfiltered on 101.7 The Truth and 620 WTMJ. You can hear Denise every Monday evening right here on 101.7 The Truth from 6 till 8. And if there's not a Bucks game or baseball or preempted something, we'll be on 620 WTMJ on Sunday nights from 7 till 9. So.
You said that so much better than I have. I'm taking notes. I'll be forgetting y'all.
I wish y'all could see that face. I wish y'all could see that face.
Tariffs.
I was just trying to think about how to come at it because black people need to understand that this is not a Trump creation, that you've been dealing with this and the high prices you've been having under every administration. Some of it has to do with tariffs. When we shipped stuff to Japan and had it made, when we shipped stuff to China and had it made in China, one of the things people forgot is China wants you to turn over all your intellectual property to them. And then they charge you. Hey, Denise, you wanna make your stuff in my country? I need $1 million. You'd be like, okay, because I will make like 50. Then the next year they go, hey, Denise, yeah, I need $2 million. You'd be like, okay. Hey, Denise, yeah, I need 5. You'd be like, whoa, wait a minute. And if you say no, y'all already have an agreement in place. So China can wait X amount of years, and then they'll take your intellectual property, duplicate your product, and sell it on the market in a different name. And so I don't really get that. But the problem is it's so expensive to make things in America now that somewhere either the unions are going to have to give significantly or we're going to have to find another country to have stuff made in because we can't afford some things that are made in America. And all those longshoremen that they just had those strikes in Florida and California and they was making $180,000 a year base pay and all that stuff, that's fine. But when ain't nothing being shipped from China, guess what? You're not going to have a job. And so if manufacturing comes back, it's going to affect a lot of things.
Over the weekend, Dr. Ken, smartphones and computers.
You saw that?
Are now exempt from the most recent, because it changes daily, Trump tariffs.
Well, did you see the Forbes article on how much they would cost if they got made here?
No. What was the amount? I did not see that article.
Over $3,000.
Yeah. Miss me with that. I'd be the first black person that would publicly say, unless I'm going back to the payphone, I'm not paying $3,000.
So they dropped it. So where's the phone going to get made if they dropped it?
Like, well, no. If they're still going to be made in China, there just won't be any
tariff on it.
Tariffs.
Okay.
No more than what already exists.
But what if they hold up our shipments because they're mad at Trump? They just you can't get your iPhones.
We'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, I guess.
We'll find out. Because here's the thing. I guess. You know, tariffs, it's been, to your point, it's been reported as a fight between nations. And I'm not discounting that this could result in a tariff war between nations. And I think that's ultimately what's causing President Trump to go back and switch. But for Black America, this is a fight for our economic survival. And I don't mean to sound dramatic, but I kind of do, because when you think about it, we're already navigating economic policies that do not protect us. We are already navigating this change of DE&I to where it has weaponized and put this fear in non-black people that if you hire a black person, it could be perceived as a DE&I hire, and then we won't be able to get, you know, the support and finances and blah, blah, blah. All these things that we are already now facing combined with the tariffs, it is a fight for us.
That is
an
true.
Economic
that
survival. Is true. And we need, and this is why it's so important that when the new pipeline of elected officials that look like us, that identify as black, Senator Cory Booker, Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, it can't just be those two, because we need policies where people that look like us come from humble beginnings. They, even though they may now be elitist, or I shouldn't say elitist, they may now be of a higher caliber, whether it's based on their role, their money, their life, whatever. We need people that started from the bottom, now we hear type leadership that can represent and create legislation that then results in ways that we can invest in our future, not one that just taxes. And that's right. where, so right, right now.
But that's the Democratic tariffs, Party, though.
That's what I'm saying. Like when you hear and see these economic analysts and these economy analysts that don't look like they ever had to worry about what the price of gas is or the cost of eggs are, tell you that this is a long-term strategy. Do not believe that, because it is impacting us today. It has, it is, and it will continue if we do not have representation that is protecting the entire, not just the rich, not just the investors, but the entire American workforce.
It is a strategy. It's a long-term strategy. Just not for us.
But yet, I got to pay taxes.
Right.
That go towards something that isn't something that I'm going to benefit from. And that's what we continue to feel as Black Americans.
I promise.
We do things that have nothing to do
right.
with our benefit.
Right. We would rather go buy something so that everybody can show how fly you are than to take that same money and give it to an investment advisor in 30 years. Own what you thought was fly.
And let me be the first to say, I'm guilty. I'm getting better. No, seriously, Dr. Ken, I thought about that yesterday.
No. Let me take you off that horse. No, absolutely not. When you earn it and your money is automatically taken out where you don't see it and you're building, you can spend what you want.
But it's not what I'm spending, it's where I'm spending it.
Oh, definitely.
So, I went to an event yesterday where former president and CEO of the Dallas Mavericks, Sint Marshall, black woman.
Right.
Along with Melody Hobson. Now, if I have to tell y'all who Melody Hobson is, come on now. We have failed as parents.
But they're still mad at her because of who she married to. But, you know, love is love.
If George Lucas has a brother and you're listening, call me.
You got to be a billionaire, though.
Call me.
You got to be a
Melody Hobson ain't worried about nobody being mad at her. Anywho, and during this this panel discussion, or this, I should say, it was more like a fireside chat conversation between Sint Marshall and Melody Hobson. It's just talking about how financial literacy is so critical. And we as a community, we have to do better. Because when you think about being a parent,
yep.
especially in our community, it was always about protecting and hiding things and, you know, having secrets and, you know, not letting our kids. And in the meantime, all these other families are exposing. Like, I remember I had high school classmates that had credit cards. They didn't physically have them, but they knew they had them in their name because their parents are already. And so I say all this to say that this tariff thing that's going on. Remember, as Black Americans, we already are dealing with economic strife. And then the country furthered it with the elimination of DE&I and then the elimination of DE&I federal funding. This is a new form of a intentional effort to keep the rich rich and the poor poor. And the middle class is about to be obsolete. You're either going to have it or you don't.
And with that, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Truth Unfiltered with Dr. Ken Harris and Denise Thomas.
You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, along with Denise Thomas. So, parting thoughts.
Black households in this country, the United States of America, are already overburdened. Black Americans, we spend a higher percentage of income on essentials, whether it's food, transportation, housing. And when the price of these essentials go up, the margin for survival shrinks. As far as I'm concerned, as a Black American, tariffs on imports equal price hikes on these basic household items that, again, we already overburdened. And now we got to make life decisions on diapers, food, thank goodness we don't have to worry about, you know, electronics, i.e. smartphones. And the crazy part about it is that as much as people are saying this is a long-term strategy, it is immediately hitting our computer, or excuse me, our computer, our household. If inflation, Dr. Ken, is a storm, then tariffs are a lightning strike. And it hits the people with no shelter first. And with black families holding only 1/8 of the wealth compared to white families, there's very little room for us to be able to absorb new price increases. So as much as these economic strategists and analysts and wealthy investors like Elon Musk and all these other people and President Trump try to tell you that these are minor and look at the long term, that's for wealthy people. But working class Americans that have families to feed, that literally are living check to check, yeah, they can wipe out the grocery budget. You cannot build wealth in this country if you are constantly trying to outrun price hikes. And that is what we're doing right now. And nearly 1 in 3 black households in this country are led by single women. And these women often carry, and I'm a witness because I was a single mother, the full financial and caregiving responsibility. So all of these things that already exist, now with these tariffs, it's not a game. There is a thin line between making it work and going without. And we as black Americans have to get prepared and ready, because this is here and it is not going anywhere. This ain't no long-term strategy for us. It's immediate. It's now. And it's impacting our ability to continue to rebuild. That's my op-ed.
Couldn't have said it better. And at some point, we're going to have to move forward. We're going to have conversations and arguments and fights. Something you said earlier about it being at the kitchen table now. Like, stop. We got to get out of the going to the neighborhood, this and that, and going somewhere. And we're going to argue this point, and we're going to get together as community. No, you need to sit down with your family at your kitchen table and start figuring this out.
You know what breaks my heart, Dr. Ken, and I mean this with the utmost sincerity. What breaks my heart is that we are letting people make decisions that have no idea what it feels like to live paycheck to paycheck.
Could you do me a favor and stop making sense? Like, that's, You've never struggled a day in your life. You've never had, more month left over at the end of your money. But anyway, you're listening to The Truth Unfiltered. I hope you got it unfiltered this week. I'm Dr. Ken Harris. I want to say thank you to Denise Thomas. We'll see you on next week. You want to say bye?
Peace out, y'all. Love you. Make it a great week. Tell somebody you love them.